Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Thomas Juneau, who's a professor at the Graduate School of Public and International Affairs at the University of Ottawa in Canada. His research focuses mostly on the Middle East, and he also studies Canadian foreign and defense policy and international relations, and is the author of Squandered Opportunity, Neoclassical Realism, and Iranian Foreign Policy. He worked for the Canadian Department of National Defense from 2003 to 2014, chiefly as a strategic analyst covering the Middle East, and was also a policy officer and an assistant to the deputy minister. He has an article at the Washington Post: Saudi Arabia just expelled the Canadian ambassador in Riyadh. Here's why. Welcome to Background Briefing, Thomas Juneau.
Thanks for having me.
And Thomas, it's pretty extraordinary to see Canada making a stand for human rights and being so alone, particularly with its neighbor to the south, being so silent on the matter, and the Saudi Arabia, of course, it's pretty clear from the recent record since MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, the Crown Prince, has essentially become the de facto ruler. He's taken over all the portfolios, the oil and defense, etc. He seems to be pugnacious, impetuous. He obviously has enormous amount of wealth and power, since it is an absolute monarchy. There's no checks and balances on him. And he does things impetuously without thinking through the end game. For example, blockading Qatar and starting a war in Yemen. So is this attack on Canada by Saudi Arabia yet another example of the impetuous boy king's actions?
Absolutely. This by and large, what we've been seeing in the last week is really not about Canada. I mean, there is a background of rising tension between Canada and Saudi Arabia in the last year or two that does matter, right? It does set the context for this. But mostly what we've been seeing is Saudi Arabia wanting to send a message to other democratic countries: do not criticize us on human rights or you will be penalized. And it's a broader message to the international community and to its neighbors: if you disagree with us, there will be a price. It is entirely consistent with exactly what you just described, you know, the pattern you called it impetuousness, I would call it recklessness, really an aggressive and ambitious and assertive foreign policy, as we've seen in the war in Yemen, the blockade of Qatar. Late last year in 2017, Saudi Arabia basically took the Lebanese prime minister hostage, slapped him around, kept him for a few days, and then forced him to resign on live TV. I mean, if you think about that for just a second, that is mind-boggling. So obviously what's been going on with Canada is on a far smaller scale, since Canada-Saudi relations are not very important, as a whole for the international community, but for either country, this is fairly marginal. But it's really about the message Saudi wants to send.
Well, but the message that Saudi has sent since MBS came into the fore, with his father being the king, but ailing supposedly with some kind of Alzheimer's problem. Since MBS became the crown prince and the de facto ruler, he's had a charm offensive, which a lot of Western reporters and important commentators and reporters like Thomas Friedman of the New York Times, they seem to have been taken in, that this guy's a reformer. But his actions are really sort of are in cynical contrast to the lavish praise he's been getting from the West.
Well, I think when the whole debate about MBS as a reformer tends to be seen a bit too much in black and white, especially in the Western media. On some fronts, MBS really is a reformer. On the social and economic side, he is really in the process of trying, at least. It's still early days, so it's not fair to criticize him for having not done it so far. But economically and socially, he really is trying to change a lot of things in Saudi Arabia. And if anything, he's trying to change it really fast, and that raises a lot of issues of, is he overreaching at that level? Where it's important to distinguish or nuance between different types of reforms is that, as much as I absolutely am convinced, I've been twice to Saudi Arabia in the last year and a half, I've seen it very clearly, that economic and social reforms are real, politically, in terms of human rights, in terms of political rights and civil rights, not only is there no reform, there's actually movement backwards, right? So when we talk about is MBS a reformer or not, it's important to say on some levels he is and on others he's not. And this is obviously a tension, but it's not incoherent or it's not a contradiction, as some have been saying. It's really, in his own way, it's coherent in that he is telling, for example, women's rights activists, of which there's been obviously a lot of talk in the last week and a half, but other activists and society in general, yes, there will be some change, but it is going at my pace, under my leadership. It is happening because I want it so, not you guys. So he is telling women's rights activists, which he's been jailing and others sending a message to, yes, women are allowed to drive. Yes, women are getting more freedom in the labor force, for example, which is a real change that is going on. But don't get any illusions, guys. I am not democratizing further. And if anything else happens, it is because I want it, not because of your pressure.
And again, I'm speaking with Thomas Juneau, who's a professor at the Graduate School of Public and International Affairs at the University of Ottawa, Canada. His research focuses mostly on the Middle East. He also studies Canadian foreign and defense policy and international relations and is the author of Squandered Opportunity, Neoclassical Realism in Iranian Foreign Policy. He worked for the Canadian Department of National Defense from 2003 to 2014, chiefly as a strategic analyst covering the Middle East, and was also a policy officer and an assistant to the deputy minister. And he has an article at the Washington Post, Saudi Arabia just expelled the Canadian ambassador in Riyadh. Here is why. But the one thing that MBS is not talking about, and nobody seems to be talking about, is that this is a feudal country with an absolute power in the kingdom itself. He is answerable to no one. He's been able to kind of arrest a bunch of people within the own Al Saud family, these many, many princes who are the beneficiaries of oil, which sort of trickles down from them to the rest of the people. And, you know, he's been buying a Michelangelo for $500 million, chateaus in France for equal amounts of money. So he's, if anything, is being more grotesque in displays of extraordinary wealth while his country, the young people, are restive. There's, I think, one-third of the country lives in poverty, for God's sake. So isn't that something that should be talked about along with the fact that he is, in quotes, a reformer?
You're absolutely correct. You know, the Saudi Arabia, there's multiple important elements that you just touched on. One of them is the unprecedented consolidation of power in his own hands. You know, since the 1950s, 60s, 70s, the system in Saudi Arabia really evolved where power was fairly diffuse within the very large royal family. So even though the king was you know, primus inter pares, he was the most powerful in the country, he still could not make decisions on his own. He had to consult other power centers within the family, half-brothers, cousins, and so on, as well as other, you know, the clergy and business elite and so on. In the last 3 years, what we've seen, 3.5 years, is really an unprecedented consolidation of power in MBS's hands. So in that sense, that goes back to the answer to the previous question, that even though social and economic reforms are real, political reform is not only not real, it's moving backwards. There's not only at the level of civil society arrests, but at the level of the unprecedented consolidation of power in MBS's hands and those of his closest advisors. This in many ways is worrying, because one of the many implications of how Saudi Arabia functioned in the past was that because decisions had to be consulted, they were kind of diluted, and then sometimes decisions were the lowest common denominator, which led to a very cautious foreign policy. Now, power is consolidated in one man's hands, and this man has shown that he is, as you said, impetuous, very aggressive. There are very few checks and balances on him. Even though Saudi Arabia is not and was not democratic before, there were checks and balances on the king. Not anymore. So just to broaden that point, that really opens things wide for MBS to make reckless decisions on the foreign policy front, see Yemen, Qatar, now Canada, but also domestically, to link this with the second part of your question. Saudi Arabia is a country that has obviously tremendous oil wealth, but also suffers from extraordinary inequality socially and economically, not only with the royal family being an upper caste, but other members of society, high-level civil servants, high-level businessmen, but not in terms of foreign laborers, but also in many rural parts of Saudi Arabia. This is a country that has, as you said, extensive pockets of poverty. And for that to change over the years, for the mass of Saudis to really benefit from oil wealth, there's a need for a, you know, massive economic reforms and redistribution and so on. Maybe that's something that MBS wants to do, but how he'll actually do it remains unclear for now.
Well, clearly, he doesn't think things through in terms of an end game. There's no end game in Yemen. And just the other day, the Saudis bombed a busload of children. The situation with Qatar is not going anywhere. It's essentially because the Saudi royals desperately want to shut down Al Jazeera because they don't want any other form of political Islam to take hold in the Middle East. You know, that's how they've, in a sense, financed the reversal of political Islam in Egypt through their support of General Sisi. They're also digging a canal now across the border with Qatar, and MBS, along with the Israelis, are rattling, trying to sort of gin up a confrontation with Iran, which is a real possibility. And, you know, for the longest time, a precondition for dealing in the Arab world was with Israel was that you had to deal with the Palestinian issue before we can have any kind of discussions. Well, now that's out the window. The Palestinians essentially have been hung out to dry by the Saudis because of their obsession with Iran.
Oh, you're correct. There's a lot of criticism, especially outside of Saudi Arabia, that these major decisions by MBS, as you said, have not been seriously thought through. I mean, foreign policy, and this is a cliche to say that, but it's true, it's complicated. You need to seriously think things through, weigh different options, assess the costs and benefits, and so on. The easy example to show that is the war in Yemen. It's been 3.5 years now. It is absolutely devastating for Yemen. By all accounts, MBS thought that this would be over in a matter of weeks. And it's been 3.5 years now with absolutely no end in sight. And if you take this just a step beyond, in the longer term, this is self-defeating. In the longer term, this is counterproductive for Saudi Arabia. In the case of the dispute with Canada right now, in narrow terms, the cost to Saudi Arabia and the cost to Canada is very low in the sense that our bilateral relations are small. So whatever business opportunities will be lost in the next few years will do extremely marginal damage to our economy here in Canada, but also to the Saudi one. That being said, we were talking over the last few minutes a lot about MBS's attempts to reform the Saudi economy. He wants to diversify the Saudi economy away from oil. He wants to attract foreign trade and investment. One of the preconditions for that is to brand, and this is really a branding exercise, of Saudi Arabia as a stable and attractive place for foreign trade and investment. For that, there's a level of predictability that needs to be necessary. All of these actions that he's taking against Canada, all of these impetuous things that he's doing against Qatar and others, are having the exact direct effect, right, of actually showing that, no, there are no rules in Saudi Arabia. Things are not stable. We cannot guarantee that you will be protected in that sense. So the point about Canada is really marginal. It's the bigger picture element here that matters.
Well, just in closing, though, the one thing that probably will work is that he's intimidating other Western countries not to speak out against human rights abuses in Saudi Arabia as the Canadians do, right? That he may succeed on that, unfortunately, particularly because our president has, and along with Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, have both political and financial ties with the kingdom.
What Saudi Arabia clearly is trying to do, to send a clear message to Western countries: you criticize us on human rights, there will be a price to pay. I would unfortunately not be surprised that in the next months and years there's a bit less criticism of Saudi Arabia on human rights, but I don't think there will be none. I mean, just today and yesterday, the Europeans have been quietly, steadily reverting back to more gently, but still criticizing Saudi Arabia on human rights. But I think the counter-argument to that is, you know, suppose that you are at the head of a German business right now, And, you know that Germany has been critical of human rights in Saudi Arabia over the past, that there actually was a similar, lesser but similar dispute between Germany and Saudi Arabia 2 years ago. You're a German business. You're thinking about investing in Saudi Arabia. I'm not saying that tomorrow morning you'll decide not to do it because of what's been going on for the last week, but you certainly will be just a bit more reluctant, right? That's only rational. So this, in this sense, is counterproductive for Saudi Arabia.
Well, Thomas Juneau, I thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And again, I've been speaking with Thomas Juneau. He's a professor at the Graduate School of Public and International Affairs at the University of Ottawa in Canada. His research focuses mostly on the Middle East, and he has also studied Canadian foreign and defense policy and international relations, and is the author of Squandered Opportunity, Neoclassical Realism in Iranian Foreign Policy. And he worked for the Canadian Department of National Defense from 2003 to 2014, chiefly as a strategic analyst covering the Middle East, and was also a policy officer and an assistant to the Deputy Minister, and he has an article at the Washington Post, Saudi Arabia just expelled the Canadian ambassador to Riyadh. Here's why. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Marks. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at backgroundbriefing.org, where you can also contact me, and I'll be back again with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.